Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
What's up, trash talkers? Home field advantage and upsets all up and down the top 25. Who's going to be the top four when the college football playoff is initially released? And who is the best one-loss team in the country? What's up, everybody? I am Rob the Angry Colonel, and welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or as the NCOs would call it, Ring Knocker Radio. I'm joined today by Dano, base.
Hi, guys.
And James in Oklahoma. All right, so let's run down the Service Academy results this week. If you don't mind, James, let's knock that out real quick.
You got it, Rob. So Army had a bye week, and now they have an upcoming game with Wisconsin, so that bye week was much needed. Navy moves to 1-4, lost to ranked Southern Methodist 31-24 in a game that was closer than the experts thought. The Mids ran for 177 yards. It's back and forth all game, and then in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter, SMU broke the deadlock. Navy offense never really got going out of the locker room. Even with two turnovers, the Mids couldn't close out the game there late, which was unfortunate for them. So they moved to 1-4 on the year, pushing their bowl hopes a little further out of reach. Air Force beats undefeated Wyoming 24-14, moving to 5-1. Zoomies looked good, and they beat an undefeated Cowboy team that had looked good so far. I think Air Force was favored in that game, but they moved to 5-1, now just one game away from bowl eligibility. Coast Guard Academy now 2-4, lost a whopping 60-0 to Springfield, unfortunately. Coasties gave up 47 points in the first half. Springfield ran for over 430 yards. Wasn't a close one. Merchant Marine Academy now 5-0. Secretary's Cup is looking good for the kids in Kings Point. They won 49-14 and still undefeated on the year. So looking good for them.
All right, Dan, if you don't mind, let's run down the Commander-in-Chief trophy status.
No change this week. Again, this trophy is going to be decided in Dallas. Air Force looking good coming out of this game. If they win against Army, they will get the Commander-in-Chief's trophy for the first time in several years. That is hardly a foregone conclusion, but they have looked good. I mean, real good the past couple of weeks. And, even the Army-Navy game suddenly looks like it's going to be a lot closer than anticipated as of the beginning of the season. Navy offense has produced well over the past couple of weeks. They get the fullback dive working. They've done a decent job getting it back out to the perimeter. It's just in the second half, teams are making adjustments in the mids, especially this week against SMU. Couldn't do much with that.
Yeah, for sure. And let's move into the top 10 poll. So, as we said, this week was crazy. Again, if you watch college football at all, you were on the edge of your seat for some games and then turned it off to another more competitive contest in others. But as we said at the beginning, it was a crazy week. Top teams ranked 1-4. 18 and 21 all lost. An unranked Texas A&M team beat Alabama on a last-second field goal. Crazy. Since joining the SEC, Texas A&M has been one of those teams that has sneakily gotten in a win on Alabama. Who knows if it's going to happen again, but that was a great game to watch. Number two, Georgia beat Auburn, number 18. Number three, Iowa beat Penn State after Penn State starting QB went out. They said undisclosed injury. He didn't come back, and it did not look well for the Nittany Lions after QB1 took a step down. Number six, Oklahoma won Texas in the wildest Red River rivalry I have seen in a very, very long time. It was a great game. There was basically no defense, so it was a showcase for the Big 12 defensive units as per SOP, but even worse so because there was over 1,200 yards of offense total in the game. Longhorns jumped out to a 38-20 lead at the half, but then all of a sudden the Sooners, listened to the crowd cheering for the second backup QB, and he came in, and what an impressive showing for the backup. And I think Spencer Rattler's Heisman hopes for this year have been dashed, particularly seeing that his backup is playing well better than he is in in his backup role. Unranked Boise State upset number 10 BYU at their own building, which is pretty impressive, and that throws off some of the postseason hopefuls for BYU. Number 17 Ole Miss beat number 13 Arkansas in another wild contest. Again, this was 103 points total scored, 1,300 yards of total offense, and literally the last team that had the ball won, and it was dangerously close, because if you watch that game, Arkansas opted to go for two rather than trying to, you know, kick the extra point, tie it, and go into overtime. And who knows how many more points would have been scored if they would have went into OT. And then finally, Wake Forest survived overtime against the unranked Syracuse. Syracuse is sneaky good this year, and their record doesn't show it, but they played most of the teams that they've been against tight. But this was I don't think there was enough television channels or televisions to watch all the high quality games this week. But with that, your new AP top 10 is Georgia 6-0 number 1, Iowa 6-0 number 2, Cincinnati 5-0 number 3, Oklahoma 6-0 is number 4. Alabama drops out of the top 4 to 5th at 5-1. Ohio State is 5-1. Penn State is 5-1. Michigan 6-0 is number 8. No love for the Wolverines. I'm not sure. I hate on the Wolverines because, you know, Ohio State fan, but there's no reason for the sports writers to give them that much shade. Number 9, Oregon is 4-1, and Michigan State, again, sneakily quiet in the Big Ten at 6-0. It's worth noting that teams ranked 2, 6, 7, 8, and 10 still all have to play each other the next couple of weeks, and none of them have more than one loss total. Other notable entries in the top 25, you have Kentucky at 6-0 at 11, Oklahoma State at 5-0, which is 12, Notre Dame is 14, Coastal Carolina is 15, Wake is 6-0 at 16, and that's a future Army opponent, SMU is 6-0 at number 23, and San Diego State, former Army opponent a couple years ago in a bowl game, is 5-0 at number 24. The undefeated UTSA received 22 votes in Air Force Academy is not getting the love that they should, but I think it's because of the bye week and the shabby performance of Navy that is probably hurting Air Force's chances of busting into the top 25.
Yeah, if they keep winning, they're going to get there. All right, you know, I just got to say, Rob, you mentioned it a while ago, Spencer Rattler, man, he looked like he was going to be the number one overall pick. Now he looks like he needs to go to Hertz Rent-A-Car and get a job, you know, handing out keys at an airport or something. My man, I don't know what he's studying at college, but I hope it's something other than football, because I don't think the league is going to take him after this performance that we've seen to start the season.
Yeah, he's been fairly shaky, and you know, for a coach to pull a starter that was a Heisman hopeful midway through a rivalry game, that is very telling. Very telling. And, I mean, if they were, you know, playing Troy State or something, pulling them halfway through the game, that makes sense because you don't want them to get hurt. But in a rivalry game, televised, big time, you know, impacts to your season, that's just not good. All right. Let's move on.
A couple things real quick. So first of all, let's take a look. 5 of the top 10 teams are from the Big Ten. That's insane, right?
Yeah.
So Big Ten, I mean, I won't say they're the best conference to be in if you want a playoff spot, because you have 2 in the top 5 out of the SEC. But, I mean, that's pretty good. Second, when it comes to the sports writers not giving Michigan love, there are 5 teams that started the season outside the rankings that are undefeated Power 5 teams. Michigan, Michigan State, Kentucky, Oklahoma State, and Wake Forest. And who's ranked the highest? It's Michigan. So I wouldn't say they're not giving them love. They just started the season unranked, and they've moved up the most out of anybody who started the season unranked. So I don't think the sports writers are shading Michigan. They're just not completely proven yet, and rightfully so. So I think the sports writers are giving them a good amount of love.
I guess if this was last year, with all the hype Michigan had, you know, they'd be like number 2 right now, sitting at 6-0.
Oh, I don't think Michigan had much hype last year. I mean, last year was a COVID year, so leave that aside.
Yeah, all right.
There have been, I will say, there have been years that Michigan has had a lot of hype where they'd be ranked number 4 in the country right now. Sure, but they were like 2-5 last year, whatever it was. I honestly don't remember. They had an abysmal record. So if you have an abysmal record, you're not going to start off ranked. They didn't, and they've been undefeated, and they're the best team in the country ranked that way. That's still like that. And one more thing. I know a lot of fans want to see Cincinnati in the playoff. I'm one of them. But let's take a look at this for a second. Yeah, they're ranked number three. Yes, these aren't the college football playoff rankings. But you could easily have two Big Ten teams and two SEC teams that the committee takes over Cincinnati. And that doesn't include the possibility of a one-loss Oklahoma escaping the Big 12. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I think Cincinnati deserves to be in the playoff. But you got to remember, the playoff is just a TV contract, and they're going to protect their interests. And they could very well send teams from just two conferences to the playoff this year.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And the other part of it is like, hey, it's all about teams that travel. You know, ultimately, that's what it's about, putting butts in seats. If you can sell off that playoff game, you know, people are traveling to go.
And it's about the fact that the college football playoff is just a TV agreement between the Power Five conferences and a bunch of bowl games. And if the committee wants to keep the people that pay them happy, not pay them, but the reason they exist happy, they're going to make the Power Five conferences happy. I mean, they exist because of the Power Five conferences.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear it, but that's, yeah, you know, Cincinnati beat Temple this week, which is great, but it isn't on the par with some of these other
people. Yeah, schedules. People treat them like they're an NCAA committee. The NCAA has a football committee, and North Dakota State wins that trophy damn near every year. Sam Houston State won it last year. But that's the NCAA D1 football committee, and people treat the playoff committee like they're on par with that, and they're not. It's just a TV contract.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's move on to game of the week. Dan, if you don't mind, let's cover those real quick.
So the most important game of the week, Army at Wisconsin, 8 p.m. on the Big Ten Network this Saturday. ESPN is giving the Badgers a very healthy 80% chance of winning this game. The offensive statistics are almost mirrors of each other, with the exception of points per game. What is a little scary is that no one, and I mean no one, has run on Wisconsin, and they've seen some pretty decent running teams this year, including Michigan, which is a really good running team. So that is scary. We've got Navy at Memphis Saturday at 3:30 p.m. on CBS Sports. Mids are going into the hard part of their schedule. Memphis is by a mile their best chance of winning a game before they come into Cincinnati and Notre Dame. And then they may also get a win against Tulsa. We'll see. But, you know, if the Mids are going to show up and do anything, this week is one of their better chances. Finally, you got Air Force playing Boise State on the blue turf. Broncos are favored in this game by a little less than a touchdown. Air Force has quietly been the number two team in the Mountain West. Would not surprise me to see them beat Boise State, especially coming off the emotional win over BYU. Hey, we'll see. And then, you know, they're – after all the crazy carnage and stuff, there are a lot fewer like ranked-on-ranked matchups this weekend. I don't know if it's going to be the same – I hesitate to say it's not going to be the same quality of football, but it's definitely not the same kind of prove-it Saturday. But still, our game of the week, you've got number 12 Oklahoma State at number 25 Texas. You've got Cal at number 9 Oregon. You've got Central Florida at number 3 Cincinnati. That's probably Cincinnati's best chance to take a loss. Auburn at number 17 Arkansas. Number 11 Kentucky at number 1 Georgia. If I thought Kentucky had a prayer in that game, I would have made it the game of the week. Number 22, NC State at Boston College. Another sneaky good game. And finally, number 19, BYU at Baylor. BYU, they got some work to do if they're going to get back, you know, a little higher in the rankings.
All right, James, let's go picks and traps of the week. If you would review the scoreboard for us.
Sure. So Dan ends up splitting. He had BYU -4 and Syracuse +6.5. That Syracuse game, Dan almost lost about 4 times towards the end of it, and then it went into OT, which all but guaranteed that Syracuse was going to cover. So Dan splits. Jordan also splits. He had Wake Forest, so went against Dan and lost, almost won about 6 times. And then he had Kentucky by 3.5, which hit. So he splits. Rob went 0-2 last week. He had Maryland +20.5. And they couldn't cover, and he had Wyoming +6, and they couldn't cover. So with that, your standings are Dan at 2 up on the year, Jordan still 2 under, and Rob now 1 under. So with that being said, moving into week 7, what are your picks? I'll start with Dan.
All right, so my first pick, I'm going to stay with the orange, Syracuse +14 at home against Clemson. Clemson or the Cuse has been really good at home this year, and I don't know what's going on with Clemson, but it is not good. Maybe they bounce back, but I think the Cuse keep it within 14 points. We'll see. The other one is Ball State -2.5 at Eastern Michigan. You know, we thought going to the Ball State game that they were a bad team. They're now 3-3. They look like they can repeat as the MAC champions all of a sudden. So, yeah, -2.5 at Eastern Michigan. My trap game of the week, Ole Miss at Tennessee. The Rebels are favored by a field goal. The Vols have played very well over the past couple of weeks. Honestly, have no idea why they don't want to play Army next year. They look like they would kick the Black Knights right in the ass. Yeah, I think the Vols may very well pull a win out there.
Yeah, and that's interesting, the Syracuse pick. Everyone sort of wrote off Syracuse after they lost to Florida State, and then Florida State turned around and beat North Carolina. So maybe that loss wasn't as bad as people thought initially.
Yeah, I think Florida State is on the way. It's been a long while before we actually had the Seminoles in a conversation about, like, hey, they're actually doing well in the ACC. But I think that's a good indication of performance as beating UNC, which is a pretty solid team. All right, we'll get Jordan's picks a little bit later since he is out and about. But for me, I'm going to say take UK to cover. The line is 12.5 and shifting. So it will be closer than that. I think although Georgia is one of the most tremendous teams out there, they're a little nicked up. And, you know, UK is undefeated and they have a pretty decent offense. So I think it'll be closer than 12.5. It should be a crazy game. Don't be surprised if the game is closer than the experts think. And I think that 12.5 is a bit generous for Georgia, even though they have been stomping people, but that's kind of sliding UK, not so much giving Georgia too much credit. And then my trap game this week is going to be Auburn versus Arkansas. If the Tigers bounce back like everybody else did who played a big, powerful team the next week, they're going to be tough this week. I think, you know, the experience in game will actually help them. The Razorbacks are not as efficient as Georgia is on the ground, so that kind of puts them in a position to have a better game. And then again, you know, hats off to coach at Arkansas for going for two rather than, you know, playing for the win rather than playing for the overtime. Like, much respect for that. Again, it doesn't show in the record, but that is probably one of the most gutsy calls of the season, you know, playing in a game against Ole Miss. And of course, you know that old Tosh.0's offense is always going to be good at Ole Miss, but you got to make sure that, you know, you close out the game, and that was great. Without further ado, since we're getting close to the end of the show, we're going to toss it over to everybody just for a quick take in 30 seconds or less. Is who is the top one-loss team in college football, given all the craziness this past weekend?
Okay, I'll lead off. Alabama, obviously, but if we leave out the Tide, because why shouldn't we? They're probably still the best team in football despite the loss. I'm going to say Penn State, assuming they get quarterback Sean Clifford back after their bye week. They were up 17-3 on number 2 Iowa. Honestly, turned that game off because I thought it was boring at that point. And then their offense fell apart when their quarterback went out. So assuming he comes back, I'll say Penn State.
James, how about you?
So I always look at it as, you know, what's the which one-loss team has the easiest path to the playoff? I think Alabama pretty clearly does based on their remaining schedule. But other than Alabama, because that's just uninteresting, I think I agree with Dan. Penn State has the easiest path, although all those Big Ten East teams are gonna struggle because you have Michigan. You have four top 10 teams in the Big Ten East, and so and two of them have losses in Ohio State and Penn State, and none of them have played each other yet. So we still have a lot to go. So I would say Alabama, and then number two is going to be whichever team comes out of the Big Ten East with one loss.
Yeah. Well, you know my stance. I'm going to say Michigan, although they haven't lost yet.
That's wrong.
But
didn't you guys lose to Oregon without their best player or something like that?
Yeah,
didn't that happen at home too?
I get it. I get it. You know, and it does irrelevant at this point, right? In all seriousness, it is Alabama because they do have the easiest path. And I think what we're up in the Big Ten, going back to the conversation that we just had, is that the Big Ten is turning into the SEC, you know, at least for like the Midwest kind of football players. So you have all these teams that are great in the SEC and they always commit fratricide because they're picking each other off and there's got teams with one or two losses. You know, I look at it from the perspective of the Big Ten is getting that way as well, you know, and that's kind of a leave-over from Urban Meyer. We don't want to talk too much about him because of the scandal and controversy that's going on with him.
Oh,
but
man.
I can remember an interview, you know, they asked him, it's like, what's your plan? And he was at the national championship game, and he's like, hey, I got to build a team to beat that guy right there. You know, and I think finally the Big Ten is starting to get that way. And then when you look at all the moves that are coming out of other conferences, we're going to get more cutthroat in the SEC, and then the Big Ten is going to be, you know, fighting for relevance But the way you fight for relevance is you put four teams in the top 10 because they're playing their asses off in some great football. I think James, we'll toss it back over to him and see what he's got.
Yeah, I just got one more thing before we end the show. So you can see my wonderful Jimmy Blue Pants jersey that I'm wearing just to, have some fun with Rob today. And you'll notice that instead of a normal Nike logo, Michigan wears the Air Jordan logo on their football uniforms. So I got a little trivia question. So you can either figure it out and guess, or you can cheat and look it up and tell us next week. But five schools wear the Air Jordan logo instead of the Nike swoosh on their football jerseys. Who are they? I'll give you a hint. There's one for each Power Five conference.
All right. Oh, I certainly don't know, but we can come back to that next week and see good. If any of our audience can figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I would say it's probably Jordan gambled on before he got kicked out of pro basketball, but we'll shelf that part of the discussion for now. But we do know that the committee is actually going to meet on November the 2nd. That'll be the first release of the college football playoff rankings. And so there's a lot of green between now and then. Until then, keep following us at Ask for Football, Veteran Trash Talk, and your favorite college football team. Hey, we'll be here to give you guys the coverage, and that is all for this week. Thanks.
Beat 'em.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Join the Ask for Football team on our next episode as we bring you more hot takes and college football analysis. We would also like to thank our sponsor, UniformFlag.com, where 100% of the proceeds from all purchases go to the Lead the Way Fund. Show your service and support a great cause. You can also find us at AskForFootball.com and across all social media platforms. I would also like to give a quick shout out to our Globe Platform presenters of our video podcast at VeteranTrashTalk.com.